This is CJSX 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Trinity Campus in British Columbia.
Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Also known as...
Yes. I'm having a real bad day for allergies right now.
You've had a bad, like, week. Yeah. Our listeners last week were informed that you were doing laundry, that you had stepped out, that you were quietly indisposed. But you also weren't able to attend... Capital Pride.
I was barely able to speak or breathe or anything. I had the dreaded lurgy. Now, the dreaded lurgy is not a common term in North America, and I really want to bring it here. The dreaded lurgy...
It's like the ick.
It's a generic term for the flu and or the cold and or some kind of sinus infection, some kinds of food poisoning look flu-like. It's just sort of general... nose water syndrome, undiagnosed.
We are not medical doctors.
You're
not a medical doctor.
Even medical doctors are sometimes like, I don't know what it is. You got nose water.
Seasonal face disorder. Yeah, exactly.
Get to sleep. It'll be gone in 5 days. We could do a smear and do a test to see, like, genetic testing, what kind of disease it is, but just sleep. It'll be fine. So that's why, that's part of why the term the dreaded lurgy remained popular after its initial explosion as a joke disease in the 50s. But after a while in the UK, people were like, no, this is actually useful because a lot of these things, there's no difference. So just call it the lurgy. See, I had the lurgy last week and I felt better for half a day. And then the pollen count in Ottawa became so high, it became newsworthy.
Yeah, it broke news. Yeah,
and exactly. Now I'm dying from that. So yeah.
From trees fornicating.
Oh, God.
You missed an uneventful Pride parade.
Well, I mean, it was eventful in its own way.
Well, I mean, it was an event, that is sure. Just for our audience's sake, this summer, Pride organizations have been besieged by various protests, mainly protesters against the ongoing conflict in the Middle East and the war between Israel and Hamas.
They're protesting like 7 things at the same time.
Like the biggest slice of the pie is the Israeli-Hamas conflict.
It depends on which protest you're talking about. It'll either be that or it'll be anti... pinkwashing, so that they want fewer
corporations hiding back. I did go to the Pride Parade. There was no protest, which was lovely. In fact, a local business owner, a queer local business owner who we know, said to me that the only protest they saw was corporations and the city of Ottawa boycotting the Pride Parade. It was interesting, and I wanted to talk to you about it. You weren't there, which is unfortunate. We have lamented for years now the corporatization of Pride. And by that, I mean, honestly, one time I went to Toronto Pride, and it was, what, 3-4 hours long? And it's, you know...
Two-thirds corporate
This corner store cafe, that corner store cafe, this bank, that bank, the other bank, the other bank.
There is a relevant history to this, though, that did actually start in Toronto. It's one of those few things where it's not Toronto imitating New York City or San Francisco or Miami. Mm-hmm. It's actually something that originated in Toronto. And if there's a historian out there who can correct me on this, then I'm open-minded to being wrong.
Yeah.
But in the early 2000s, there was a major news event where Second Cup was the first corporate entity to extend same-sex benefits. The partner benefits to same-sex couples. And this is one of the reasons actually why Second Cup actually became sort of integral into the Canadian queer experience for a while there. Well, maybe not drinking second cup the way that, you know, now there's the stereotype about gay men and their
iced coffee.
Starbucks iced coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was this sort of a praise of it. Also, Second Cup featured heavily on Kids in the Hall,
mm-hmm.
in the gay steps, in the gay skits called Steps, and the steps were the steps on the front of the Second Cup in Toronto. So Second Cup was one of the first corporate entities to march in Toronto Pride, and people absolutely celebrated it at the time because they were one of the first companies to do this, to give pregnant benefits to same-sex couples. People wanted to respect that and honor that. And, you know, they did it before it was normal. They did it when it was still difficult. They did it when there could have been pushback, when it was sort of, it wasn't just optics. It was something that they chose to do.
Yeah.
So at that time, in the early 2000s, I think it was very meaningful.
Yeah.
I don't think it's meaningful now.
A large part of what I saw at the Pride Parade, there was a big contingent from Nokia.
Okay, yeah.
The telephone company. And
oh, I know Nokia. Don't forget, I'm a technical writer.
Yeah.
And the Global Center for Technical Writing for Nokia is here in Ottawa.
And that's my point. Nokia had a really big contingent in the Pride Parade.
And it was probably mostly writers because technical writers are gay.
Yeah, yeah. We discussed many, many months ago that there are certain fields
yeah.
that are disproportionately held by queer folks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Technical writing is it.
Yeah.
But I bring it up because, like, Nokia, they obviously knew about the statement from Capital Pride,
mm-hmm.
very pro-Palestinian,
yeah.
and still decided to march anyway. A lot of companies decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it really, when I saw Nokia there, I very much got the sense of, okay, this is probably a very queer staff,
mm-hmm.
a lot of gay folks on staff, and they are marching as, you know, just a large employer with a large queer base, marching in the Pride Parade.
It's also, and this is really roundabout, so you're going to have to follow me on this. I mean, it's not a long path, but it is a roundabout path.
Okay, I'm looking at the breadcrumbs.
Okay. Nokia is not just relevant to the queer community, but it's relevant to Ottawa. And this is actually something that I think corporations also should take into account, is not just do you fit into the movement, but do you fit into that community?
Mm.
So Nortel used to be one of the wealthiest, largest companies in Canada in terms of its ability to employ people in the IT sector.
Mm-hmm.
It collapsed due to all sorts of corruption and mismanagement, internal issues.
Industrial scale espionage
yeah,
by the Chinese.
Real nasty stuff. It got, the truth is, and this is something that's kind of hard to follow sometimes, but too big to fail between quotation marks is kind of not a thing. Nortel didn't really disappear. It got broken up and bought up. And a lot of that technology actually was bought up by Nokia. So Nokia is one of the companies that helped rescue the local economy of Ottawa, because you had all these technicians and engineers and technical writers and managers and people who knew what they were doing with IT, no job. And then sort of Nokia came in and was like, well, we have a sitting body of people just looking for work. So
yeah.
They just...
The human
shopping.
Expertise is
yeah,
there, for sure.
They scooped them up. So this is sort of an Ottawa history thing, that Nokia helped with the local economy in Ottawa, and they have really good internal queer policies. And to me, that means like that's not just another corporation marching in a parade. In the context of the city of Ottawa, the municipality of Ottawa, not just Ottawa, capital of Canada, but specifically the municipality of Ottawa, I think Nokia actually holds sort of an important place in its economic realm. But I do know that they're integrated into the local economy of Ottawa. They're not just another corporation. They're not just a manufacturer who wants to look good. They're actually integrated into the city. So for them to say, we have a large contingent of LGBT employees, we are a large contingent of the economy of Ottawa, and we want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's like, that is a natural fit. That makes a lot more sense than if like Google sent somebody to march here.
Well, the big Pride organizations, New York, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, they have had varying degrees of taking some kind of stance on this.
Yeah.
Every one of them was protested.
Yes.
Ottawa took the firmest stance, wasn't protested. But what happened in Ottawa is half the people registered to attend didn't attend.
Yeah.
Some Some of them were Jewish groups who felt that they had been made unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
But the vast majority of the cancellations were from corporations mm-hmm. or bodies where it became politically inconvenient
yes.
to attend. What seems to have happened in Ottawa mm. is pride is political.
Yeah.
And the corporations where they thought, maybe this is just like a fun PR thing we mm. can do and let people see, they've changed their mind. You know, universities backed out. The yeah. colleges backed yeah, out. Yeah, yeah. The public health department backed out. They also, each one of these ended up getting letters written to their leadership, mm-hmm. petitions from yep. people.
Yep.
I think I saw almost every union in the city of Ottawa marching yes. in the Pride Parade. You know, it was really quite something. But the whole thing at Pride mm-hmm. became a lot shorter. It was almost, I'd say it was about 75% queer organizations.
Mm-hmm. Not LGBT churches. Organizations within other organizations.
No, it's not like, you know, the gay employee group of TD.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, Max Health Ottawa
yeah.
or the AIDS Committee of Ottawa.
Yeah.
You know, actual organizations fronted, led, and run by queer folks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And unions, churches.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about it. And a couple of local gyms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Participate or we don't participate. We don't do half measures. So I could see a few organizations basically saying, I don't want to get involved in this because it would be a half measure to show up and just sort of laugh it off. Like, BSD, haha, whatever. Like, no, you don't want to do
that. The thing that I was thinking about during this whole event is, where do we move forward from here?
Oh.
You know what I mean? I don't know if...
You know, I have a radical opinion on that, which is like, this year is like 90% of the way that I want to be.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, no, CIBC, you can't match. No.
Local organizations only. That's really what I want.
You know, I get it, but I do wonder if the Corporation of Pride,
yeah.
the legal entity that is Ottawa Pride...
Yeah.
You know, are they equipped to downsize?
Mm.
You know, they're running stage events, they're booking people, blah, yeah. blah, 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 blah. Are they going to, how are they going to financially suffer? How are they going to move forward next mm-hmm. year? But more importantly, how is the community going to react?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to see more people following in Nokia's example, where queer employee groups go and march in Pride.
Yep.
You know, is Pride a roving billboard in front of tens of thousands of people?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a political protest for the rights and fairness with the queer community?
Well, here is actually, this is the place where I superficially contradict myself, but I do have a point here. So as much as I would like to see parades being local community groups only, non-corporate entities, maybe a few not-for-profits, a few outreach centers, community drop-in centers, health centers, things like that, but I really do think that the fair portion of it should be as open as possible. I do want to see the CIBC booth at the street fair. I do want to see, you know, the little stage that's like TD's.
There was an Ottawa Gardeners Association. it was adorable. I followed them on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
The Ottawa, I'm going to make sure I get the right name here, because it was exactly... The Ottawa Gay Garden Society.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to follow. Because that's who I want to see. I don't want to see five stalls all peddling the same tchotchkes off Timu.
The fair, because the fair is all about outreach, shaking hands, handing out pamphlets, that is the place for that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And I don't want to be watching a parade for 4 hours. I think the Toronto parade is just ridiculous. But then when you go to the street fair, you want it to be as crowded as possible. That's kind of the point. But also... when you march in the parade, you're just really paying your entry fee, which is at cost. Whereas for the street fair, usually what they do is they have tiered things. So community groups pay basically at cost and corporate entities pay more.
Mm.
As much as it is, it makes it sound kind of like a grab.
See, that's the billboard.
It is. That is a billboard. But that's yeah. also, it's generating revenue to actually... bring people into the fair. So if a local pride organization were to put in a policy that says, if you are not a local organization with like 100 people or fewer, and you're not for profit, and you're not a runners group or a gardening group or a drop-in center or a university queer organization, you don't get to march in the parade, but you get to sit anywhere you want on the street fair. You know, if we have 500 people, we will extend it. We will get the permit to extend it a block. I want to see that street fair as crowded as possible. I would love to see that.
I think it's worth mentioning why we march in Pride in 2024. It's to be seen.
Yep.
You know, being able to love who you love in public, just like everybody else, being seen, so powerful. Knowing where you can get resources and help, knowing that there are other people like you marching, knowing that you can have faith and be queer.
Well, it's also about the community. So, like, the what are they called? The running association? The day runners? Long runners?
Oh, I forget what they're called. They have a gay name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, so you got, like, your gay curling association, which there's, like, three of in the Ottawa region. They're there for the community, okay? The LGBTQ Employees Association of TD are there for the employees of TD.
Yeah.
They're not there for the community. That association could participate in the community, but they're fundamentally there for themselves. Yeah. And I'm not casting aspersions. Good on them. I'm glad they exist. But it's not a community group.
Mm.
It is a subgroup within a corporate entity that is there for their own rights. And that's great, which is why I think they're fantastically welcome at the fair. But the people who march in the parade are people who support the community. And I don't mean support the community like pat you on the back, you go, girl. I mean, like, they do something concrete. They have a drop-in center. They run social events. They get people active. They teach people. Mm. They do something. They do outreach. They actually do something instead of just, like, waving a flag.
Well, we interviewed, I say we, I spoke with...
Because I had the dreaded lurgy.
You had the dreaded lurgy. I spoke with a number of people during the Pride Parade. Everyone was great, conversation. Not all the audio quality was fantastic. I was projecting, thinking, noisy environment. But what the result is that I am peaky on these recordings. I apologize for that. Everyone else is fine.
For an outdoor recording, it's passable.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. This is a couple of minutes of what Ottawa Pride was like. And after that, we will be coming back to our first track of the day, which is Homebody by Mully Grubb. And we'll be back just after this.
Party of Ontario are committed to showing up and supporting the 2SLGBTQ+ community. We're just so excited. The energy is amazing and we want to come out. We want to be here so people know that we are supporters and we are allies.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Today in the parade.
To show our pride and to advocate for voting reform and proportional representation, which will help LGBTQ people.
Excellent. Wow. Pride's always been political, now more than ever.
Exactly.
How important do you feel it is to march this year?
More crucial than ever, because we're seeing a lot of really worrying trends, and we need to reform the voting system to protect the rights of vulnerable people, including the queer community.
Excellent. Well, happy Pride!
Thank you.
What does it mean to you to be marching today with Pride with this group of folks?
Okay, actually, personally, I'm an activist. I'm an artist. I'm speaking like about my community, and it's so important to me like to represent my community. And the Pride, basically, it's not like to bring just the drag queens from France or from Germany, and to pay them like many dollars and to put them like in a hotel. No, the Pride is to be proud of ourselves and to be proud of our community and our countries and everywhere, anywhere. So for us, so important to us like to talk about Palestinian causes. And yeah, there is no Pride within the side. So for me, I'm from Montreal. I'm with Mubadarat, representing Montreal. We came here with our brothers. And we're together.
All right, and I'm here with the, I want to say, the Abortion Rights Defense Brigade. Pride is very political this year. What does it mean to you to be marching in the Pride Parade today?
It is political, and it's not just our personal thing, it's all the things. And the thing that means most to me is we have that, people talk about that tension between it being political and it being a party. It's both.
Absolutely.
It's both. It's a political party.
I've marched in Pride other years, but this year in particular feels really special and really important because Capital Pride responded to community demands to speak out against genocide. And this year, the genocide in Palestine, and this year more than ever, it feels really special to be marching for something beyond just being proud. And, you know, we lost corporate sponsors because of this statement, and that's fine. If corporate sponsors and school boards and the city aren't comfortable speaking out against genocide, we don't want them to be a part of our Pride Parade. So my sign that I'm carrying says, queer teacher, proud to be against genocide. So my school board dropped out of the parade, which is extremely disappointing. And I'm here to say, I'm a teacher. I'll always stand against genocide, no matter where it is. There's nothing about that that feels hateful to me. And yeah, I'm very proud this year to be marching.
It means to me that you're being proud and not being afraid to be who you are and reclaiming yourself and overcoming trauma.
Now, you're always one of the sports teams. There's a lot of sports teams here today. There's a lot of politics. Do you think it's important to be seen and build community?
Yes, of course. And I think we do that with the Softball League. It's honestly one of the most welcoming, fun communities I've ever been a part of.
Excellent. Well, happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Thank you.
Mighty Maestro Fitness.
Pride to me means equality, unity, love for everybody, no matter their sex, their gender, who they love, who they want to do. It doesn't matter. Pride is about being yourself and being out there and being part of who you are.
Happy
Pride. There was cell call.
Welcome back to Cancri, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And, just before the break, we had our great new track. Now, you've been keeping an eye on news stories out of, I want to say, Hamilton.
It is Hamilton. But it's like a couple days old, so it's still a little bit green. They haven't released too many details, but unfortunately, there was a series of honeypot attacks in the region. For those of you who may not know the term honeypotting, three youths. So it all that's been released so far is that it was referred to as three youths, which makes me think they're under the age of 19, and we do not legally have access to their names yet. And fair enough, I don't necessarily think you should have to name criminals. It's more about the story than anything else. But yes, they found a picture of a very attractive 20-year-old online, started a profile on Grindr, and started attracting people to a location on Concession Street near East 36. There were multiple assaults in the area. They attracted people there. They stole their wallet. One person, they grabbed him and forced him to go home. And then when they broke into the place and stole some electronics, and then there was a series of small robberies, basically using this Grindr profile as an attractor to get people out there at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., where there was fewer police cars around. They have been apprehended, and there has been talks between... this is sort of an ongoing talk, really, is for various police services trying to find an in into a lot of these hookup apps.
Hmm.
Or dating apps, because not all hookup apps are dating. The other way around, we should say dating apps, because like Tinder officially is for dating, but we know what people use it for. But it's supposed to be for dating. They're trying to find inroads into these so that when events like this happen, because there was one that happened last month in Australia, there was one that happened the month before that in New York, there's one in Miami a few months ago. I don't want to be alarmist, but you do need to be careful when you're on these apps. People use them for nefarious details. Always meet somebody for the first time in a public place, during daylight, or at least somewhere where you know there's security cameras, you know? Mm-hmm. You got to be careful with this stuff. But police have been trying to find inroads into these various apps for a while. How do we report a crime? How do we get GPS location data? How do we get whatever so that they can... close these cases more quickly. Now, the fact that the three youths were arrested means that they did close the case, and they did it moderately quickly, which is good to hear.
Exactly.
Because there is a long history of cases like this just going ignored by the police forces. Hamilton has a pretty good overall, like a B+, A-, history with the community. Good but not excellent, I would say. So the fact that this happened doesn't really surprise me. That's basically it. Just, you know, take care of yourself. There are people out there using apps for robberies.
Well, there was an interesting... Grindr also was in the news for another reason this past week. And that seems to be that they're working with one of the largest organizations working on queer rights in Kenya. They've partnered with the advocacy group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to make sure I get the right name of the Kenyan advocacy group. I'm having a bit of trouble finding the exact name for it. But they've really just sort of partnered up disseminating information. We've seen that in a lot of other places as well.